Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzzed Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom. And we are going to be covering Game of Thrones Season 3, Episode 1, Valo Dohaeris,
and Season 3, Episode 2, Dark Wings, Dark Words.
Yeah!
I forgot that was the name of that other episode. That's yeah. Such a weird name.
Well, I mean, honestly, I don't know. But in any case, we have our usual... It's going to be caveats today, and that's because...
It's been caveats most of the time.
Whatever. So we're having our usual caveats, and we are celebrating because Natalie's home, which is always a good thing, which means that we are sharing things to drink today. What are we having?
I don't know, Mom. What are we having?
We're having what's called a High Garden Mimosa, and that will be explained as the episode goes along. This is a drink that contains gin, a lot of gin. Natalie's not really a fan of gin, and
she's
like in the... we're finding things out as we go along for Natalie. So it contains gin, a lot of gin, 4 ounces of gin, 1 ounce of elderflower liqueur, 2 ounces of lemon juice, and it's topped with rosé wine, which most mimosas don't have rosé in it. So this is
unique.
Well,
it also has no orange juice, so it's not really a mimosa.
Yeah, it's not really a mimosa at all, really, in my opinion, because my physical book would not classify this as a mimosa, and that is the thing I go to for cocktails that involve fizzy drinks. But it is tasty. I know
that's fine. I don't like gin, so
it's a little like a French 75 with a touch of elderflower liqueur if you're into French 75, which is basically gin, lemon juice, and sparkling wine. Then this has a little bit of an extra, I guess the High Garden part being elderflower liqueur being Saint Germain. So anyway, so that's what we're having to drink. It will be explained as we go along, and we're going to start with Valo Dohaeris. I wanted to add that, of course, the translation, you've got Valo Morghulis, which is all men must die, and you hear that a lot in this show. But Valo Dohaeris means all men must serve.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually the response that is given, at least if you're in Braavos. So all men must serve. And so where do you want to start?
Well, let's go through the sections. The sections for Valo Dohaeris, episode one, is Beyond the Wall, King's Landing, Stark Camp, Night's Watch, Sea/Astapor, and Blackwater/Dragonstone.
Wow.
So what do you want to do?
Boy, that's a good question. Let's see.
Night's Watch is pretty quick. And Night's Watch is pretty quick.
So we're talking about Beyond the Wall, right?
Beyond the Wall, but the Night's Watch, like with Sam and all them.
Right.
Did you put them together again?
I put them together again.
Mom!
But it starts with Sam, so it makes sense.
Fine, we'll do both of them at the same time.
Right, so it starts with... You hear the screeching of the White Walkers and swords clanking. There's no visual. And then you see Sam running in the wind.
Yeah, he's running and he sees a Night's Watch member dead with, like, holding his decapitated head. And the White who killed him is attacked by ghosts when he tries to attack Sam.
Ghosts!
Also, Ghost just abandoned John. Like, okay.
Yeah, but Ghost saves the day.
I know, I'm aware.
And yeah, of the things that can kill White Walkers, we know Ghost is one of them. That's pretty awesome.
Ghost can't kill a White Walker, Mom.
No.
He can dismember them. He can't kill them. No. And so he's lit on fire by Lord Commander Mormont. That's how he dies. Sam didn't send the ravens that he was supposed to warn the Night's Watch of what's going on. And so they need to go back to the wall to warn the others. Now, so beyond the wall, John and the wildlings go to the wildling camp, and we see a giant. At this point, Sophie, my roommate, was watching with me, and she's just like, he's tall.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I don't know what
I love you, Sophie. I didn't mean to make it.
No,
but, you know,
she's not listening. But
okay.
But the thing is, she didn't know whether or not it was perspective or something. But so she was just like, he's tall, and I was like, he's a giant. And she's like, oh, I see. And the wildlings, they don't like John because he's a Night's Watch member, and a lot of the Night's Watch members killed their parts of their family and were they're basically at war all the time at blah blah blah. His survival basically relies John's survival basically relies on if Mance Rayder likes him. Then we meet another amazing character named Tormund Giantsbane.
Tormund's awesome.
I love Tormund. He's
You're
just
going to
like
love
eating a
Tormund
chicken
for quite
leg.
some time.
He's
Not
just
because he's eating a chicken leg, but
no. But he basically they're like Ygritte introduces John to the people in the tent, which is Tormund, somebody else, and then Mance. They don't John doesn't know who's who, and so he assumes Tormund is Mance, and so he kneels down and they're just like, no, we don't kneel, first of all, but also it doesn't matter. And also Mance comes out and he's the guy from Harry Potter. He's
Albus, Aberforth, Aberforth, Dumbledore. Sorry.
Aberforth.
Yes.
And Sophie also added, that's not a great haircut. It's not doing him any favors. If Snape were to have a bad hair day, that is Mance Rayder's haircut,
Okay,
according to her.
that is completely fair, but at the same time, they're beyond the wall and they don't have stylists. So,
Ygritte looks fine.
yeah, that's
Anyway,
because those
also,
Wesleys hard to screw up.
what I'm curious about is I'm confused on when John was just like, yeah, I totally want to join you guys now, because he never articulated that to Ygritte. He just killed Corrin Halfhand, and then Ygritte was like, you want to be one of us? It's just like, no, he antagonized me and I killed him. That doesn't mean I want to be one of you.
Those things, and you have to give the show writers some credit. They are not hitting you over the head with what is going on here, which is he's going undercover. And that is not incredibly clear until later,
No, it's pretty clear now, but especially later, it does get a bit messy.
but the reality is I appreciate that they aren't laying out, oh,
I have a
I have a
plan.
plan. And part of what's interesting is John knows he's got to come up with a good reason to be wanting to join them. And his first reason that he gives to Mance is kind of
I
weak.
want to be
I
free.
want to be free. And Mance is like, try again. Because you've got to convince Mance that you're not just a spy for the Night's Watch. And what he says is actually compelling. So what he says is that I have seen what's out there. I've seen these whites. I saw, the baby get taken. I know what's out there. I want to fight for, and I know that Lord Commander Mormont knows what's out there and isn't really doing anything about it. He's just kind of leaving you all, the wildlings, to the wolves, essentially, or to the whites. And so I want to fight for the living. I want to
That's
fight
a more
wrong.
compelling reason.
It is. I want to compare because I really didn't do this when we were talking about the last season. I feel like the way the show is starting to develop at this point, end of season two, going into season three, and it will continue, is that you have these parallel protagonists. You've got Jon in the north, and you've got Daenerys in the south,
The
and
West, East.
well, the east, which is southeast, whatever. She is, she's very comfortable with killing people. John is less comfortable with killing people. Somebody that seemed like they were my friend, I'm good with killing him. John isn't. He is very torn up, like killing Corrin Halfhand. He knows he's got to, but he's never going to be okay with it.
He was literally told to by Corrin,
Right. He's
and he
not,
still couldn't do it.
right, but he's still not okay with it.
He's not even
Where,
okay with killing his so-called enemies. Like, he hesitated.
yeah.
He didn't kill anybody in, well, he might have struck somebody down during the raid of the little mini camp of the wildlings, but he definitely didn't kill Ygritte when he got the chance. And even though she was just like, just do it. Yeah, it was
But
unfortunate.
Daenerys is very comfortable, and she's not just comfortable in her own power, she's almost like super cocky. Whereas
We'll talk about
John,
Daenerys later.
right, but my point is John at this point is trying to gather support or whatever, and there's a discussion that could be had that Daenerys is trying to do that too. But John is far more genuine and heartfelt than Daenerys is. She's just all about me, me, me. He's all about everybody.
Yeah, the living, the living.
So yeah,
Yeah.
it's an interesting reasons why
Could be construed as a livest, but yes.
as you will see in the progression of the show, I'm very much on the John end of the scale. So like I kind of think John's pretty awesome.
I do too.
So yeah, go
Anyway,
ahead.
moving on. Let's go to Stark Camp. That's not a large section. Rob is going to see have a siege on Harrenhal while the mountain still holds it, because a lot of most of the forces were taken to King's Landing to help out Tywin, to help out the Lannisters in general in King's Landing. And so he goes in and finds tons of Northerners dead, like 200 Northmen dead, like slaughtered
That's
like
bad.
pigs. It's really sad.
That's bad.
He just missed Arya, which is really pissing me off.
That's just the worst. It's terrible.
He puts Catelyn in a chamber acting as a cell, and Talisa doesn't like that because that's his mother, who also betrayed him and let one of his like prime prisoners go without a guarantee that they would get his sisters back. It was a fucking stupid idea, Catelyn. You fucking suck.
Well, and there's a reason. Like, and this is it. It, I respect this so much about Rob as a character
He's punishing her.
that he's punishing her, but he's treating her as a prisoner, as a
It's a
traitor.
chamber as a cell. It's not a cell.
Right, but he's not just saying, "Oh, go home and take care of the boys," and you know, we'll
You
just
can't trust her to do
you
any of
can't
that.
trust her to do anything. She, hey, Ned tried to send her home to take care of the boys. How did that turn out? Like shit. So Rob has learned from his father's mistakes.
She might run into somebody on the road and then decide to take them prisoner, and
Yeah,
another war will
really. Yeah.
start. Like,
Oh
you
God.
can't trust
Are
anything
you allowed?
Catelyn does.
No, you can't. I
You
mean,
can't trust her to her own devices, which is really sad.
and again, you want to. She's empathetic as a character, and I think so much
She's a
of that
Stark.
is
It's inherent empathy. It's not necessarily like all about her.
But she's I think Michelle Fairley's performance
Oh,
of
sure.
her has enough softness to it to make her more compelling, to make her more sympathetic as a character. And I think that, and of course, you know, her love of Ned, we all love Ned. So you're okay, she's got this penumbra or aura of goodness that we kind of like, oh, you're Stark.
Anyway,
Anyway.
also they find a maester named Qyburn. He will be important later.
Sorry.
Yeah, the great noises. So do you want to do Astapor, Dragons? Let's Dragonstone. All right.
Dragon, God,
Let's well, it starts
Dragonstone.
with Blackwater.
Davos is
Blackwater
on a rock. And
Bay. He's
Da
covered in burns. He signals to a passing ship and gets brought on board by his pirate friend, after
Salazar Sam.
after
Sam.
confirming that he fought for Stannis in the battle. His son is dead. I don't care. He
Oh,
wants
you're
to
so mean.
he was a creepy looking motherfucker. What was I
Just
supposed to
because he's
think?
creepy looking, people are creepy looking. Anyway, so his son died in the
A lot of
wildfire.
people died.
Yeah, but Salazar basically is like, I'm not taking your stance. You know, this whole thing is done. I'm not going to be part of this shit. Whatever. He tells Davos that Stannis is only seeing the Red Woman. He's not seeing any of his other advisors. He's only hanging out with her. And they're burning people alive. And anyone who spoke against her is being burned alive.
And apparently, he has a wife still, or do they mean
Davos
future
does.
widow? Like, what do they
Oh, we're talking
mean?
about Stannis, or are we
No,
talking about Davos?
I'm talking about Davos because, like, Salazar Sand brings up, oh yeah, and your wife will want to do something. I'm like, are you talking about his widow, or is he a widower? Does he
Okay,
mean
I
his
will tell
future
you this.
widow? I'm confused on
Having
the
read the
relationship.
books, and I'm just throwing this in here, Davos is not this big a character in the books.
I like Davos,
I
though.
like Davos too, and I think what happened is they got this really great
Oh, he's a
actor,
fantastic
and he's
actor.
fabulous. And they do things. I will tell you, in the books, he is dead fairly early on. Well, not fairly early on, but
Oh, geez.
he's dead fairly soon.
Does he
And
just die in Blackwater?
no. No, it's later. He is in prison, but it's in a completely different situation in a location that is not even covered in the show at all.
Okay.
So I'm not going to go into all of that. My point is that The showrunner saw that this is a really compelling character, and we need somebody with some sense talking to Stannis. So this is our person with sense.
Anyway, back to Dragonstone. Davos returns, and Stannis is upset that they left Melisandre behind because she says she could have saved them and won the war.
Which is horseshit.
Which is bullshit. although she did kill Renly, so they could have sent a shadow baby over of Stannis over to kill Joffrey.
Baby.
Anyway,
Joffrey would be fun.
That would be
kind of fun.
There's this line in the next episode that I find really funny. We'll talk about it later. Yeah, then Davos tries to attack Melisandre and Stannis because he tries to attack Melisandre because she mentions, oh, what I said to your son is true. Death by fire is the best, most
wants
pure
to
death.
Sever in the heart. He says to Salazar Sam before he even goes there, he's like, I'm going to just physically get closer and stab her and kill her. And he tries.
Because that works out so well for the maester.
But he does try to pull a knife and stab her in the heart, and he fails. And but not being burned at that point, he is put in a cell.
Yes.
Which is
going to be his home for a little while.
Right, but it also shows you that Stannis is like, I'm not quite ready to be done with him.
Yeah. Anyway.
Neither are we. So that's a good thing.
So the sea / Astapor.
It's Astapor, not Turpor.
Astapor. Who fucking
yeah,
cares?
Yeah, we've got Drogon fishing off of the ship. It's really kind of cute, actually. He's like getting fish out of the sea, burning them and eating them. That's
another
kind of
Sophie
cool.
quote.
CGI.
The dragons were screeching, and she said, they are annoying sounding, just like their mother. they're going to Astapor and need an army, but she doesn't want them to be slaves. The Dothraki aren't doing well at sea.
I want to point out that they have a name for this army, the slave army. That
we'll talk about that in a second. We aren't even at Astapor. I'm still on the boat.
They're unsullied because they are so famous in the Eastern Corridor that everybody has heard of the Unsullied.
But she wants a Khalasar, but she has to prove herself strong. Anyway, later on, Daenerys arrives and talks to someone who owns an army of Unsullied. There is
a slaver, basically.
Yes, there is a translator named Missandei. Not to be confused with Melisandre.
Right now, Missandei is a different character. She's actually really awesome. She's in cool. the show, I will point out, in the books, she's 9.
Jesus Christ.
9 years old. Yes.
Anyway, and the master insults Daenerys while he's speaking in Valyrian, High Valyrian.
But Missandei is really smart, and she translates into something that's very diplomatic.
Yes,
she talks to Daenerys and is translating what the slaver says, if you don't know what the slaver said,
she cuts around the bad parts.
Yes.
The Unsullied have no weakness and had rigorous training where they had to pry a baby from his mother's arms and then kill the baby and then give a silver coin to the master that owned them.
Yes.
For his troubles.
And
his troubles.
About
yeah.
8,000 babies.
Yes, he's selling 8,000 of them. There's a random creepy girl. They go over to the pier. They're talking about how it's so sad that this is how they had to be trained. And also, they have no balls.
Well, other thing, the slaver, and this is super
well,
funny.
Not no balls. They've been
castrated.
Yes.
So, but part of what happens is the slaver, to prove how well disciplined these guys are, cuts off the nipple of one of the soldiers, and the guy just stands there.
Yeah, he takes it.
And it is revolting.
It's revolting. It anyway, they go to the pier and she's talking to Jorah.
I will say that some of the things that the slaver is calling Daenerys is like, she's a whore, she's a this, and he's very demeaning of her in general, but also specifically of the fact that she's a woman.
Yeah. Later on at the pier, yes. They are talking. And there's a random creepy girl who Dany follows and turns into a creepy warlock that was meant to kill her. Basically, what happens is that the little girl rolls over this like ball that has a scorpion type poisonous thing inside that breaks apart because, and then there's
and the
a guy.
Pops out.
Yeah, pops out and right in front of Daenerys. And, but it's the thing is killed. By Barristan Selmy.
Barristan Selmy!
Who's
yay!
Here. And but he doesn't catch the warlock.
No, but he wants to swear to be her part of her Queen's Guard because he served her father, and he's really embarrassed about having served Robert, and it is sad.
All right, let's go over
But
to
we love
King's
Barristan.
Landing.
He's a good guy.
He's a
Barristan's
great
great.
guy. I love him.
All right,
King's
King's Landing
Landing.
starts with Bronn in a whorehouse. We've got Bronn in a whorehouse, and Podrick, who we all love, comes in. He's like, "Hey, Tyrion wants to talk to you." We cut to Tyrion, who's looking at his scar and all depressed, and he gets a knock on the door. He apparently has become completely paranoid because
I
he
don't blame him.
understands that his sister has been involved in trying to get him killed. He gets a knock at the door, and it's Cersei's guards. And he's like, "I'll let you in, but only let you in. I won't let anyone else in."
And he
And
grabs like a hammer.
yeah, like he's gonna hurt anybody else who comes in. He lets Cersei in to talk to her. And there's a big discussion about Tyrion's set of meeting with Tywin, who is now, of course, Hand of the King, like acting Hand of the King. And it's the first time that he's going to be seeing his father since he came there, since Tywin showed up. And you know, that's kind of horrible. Your son almost died. He's healed some. He's got a scar as opposed to like just staples and stitches in his head. So you haven't even been to see your child. You fucking suck, Tywin, as a father.
He sucks in many other ways, but yes,
Right,
especially as a father.
but there are a bunch of things that Cersei's worried about. She's like, I'm worried you're gonna slander me to the father, and he's like, it's not slander if it's true.
Yeah, that's so funny.
I loved it. And she's like, you're not half as clever as you think you. Oh no, he says it to her. You are not half as clever as you think you are, which makes
Still
me
makes me
two
clever.
times cle more clever than you.
Still makes me cleverer than you.
Yeah.
Then Bronn and Podrick go, and they are outside of Tyrion's quarters. And Meryn Trant and the other guard is there, are there to protect Cersei. And
Assholes.
Bronn taunts Ser Meryn, but they don't fight. Bronn talks to Tyrion about protecting him, and basically Bronn's asking for double the money because now he's a Knight of the Blackwater. And he wants more
Knights
money.
cost more.
Times cost more.
Knights cost more.
Later on, Tyrion visits Tywin, and me and Sophie both yell, "Daddy issues."
Right, but hey, that's an excellent point. But as Tyrion walks over, you see that they're rebuilding the city already. You see that there had been significant damage, but they have enough money to rebuild, which I think is important. Tywin is writing, and Tyrion's just kind of sitting there and waiting for his father to acknowledge him, which, you know, it goes on for far too long. Tywin is pissed at Tyrion because he's been betting harlots and hanging out with thieves while he's been the Hand of the King. But Tyrion says, "Look, I want what's my due. Okay, Jaime's taken an oath. He's King's
He's
Guard,
also God knows where.
and no one knows where he is, and he's been taken captive. I won't. I am the next son. I should get Casterly Rock."
And Tywin just laughs in his face, like, "No, you're not getting Casterly Rock. There is absolutely no way in hell I will ever give you Casterly Rock. You are not worthy of Casterly Rock. I will find you something that's worthy of you."
I will find you something that's worthy of you. You'll have better quarters, etc. And the whole at the end of this scene is all underplaying Reigns of Castamere's playing.
Again, I keep missing
Again,
it. But
I know I'm
also,
paying attention now.
I
I
keep
am paying
missing it.
attention now.
But also, Tywin mentions, "Oh, yeah, you killed your mother when you came into this world. I blame you for that." And I'm like, "Jesus Christ, dude."
Yeah.
But also, it's an unfortunate thing whenever that happens. But like, you can't just blame the baby.
No. No, of course not. No. No.
And so, Tywin, yeah, he's basically like, "You is it's enough that you've been like claimed as my child, and you have to like wear the proud lion on your back just like my father did, and I'm not going to recognize you. Absolutely not." Anyway, then Sansa and Shay play a game at the docks. Littlefinger talks to Sansa and tells her to be ready at a moment's notice to leave. Roz talks to Shay, and she says, she basically knows she's a whore because a whore knows another whore, and tells her to watch out for Sansa with Littlefinger. Later on, Joffrey and Margaery are traveling, but Margaery has been stuck, like traveling in the city, from the Sept back to the Red Keep. And Margaery has them stop so she can socialize with orphans and give them gifts, because she does a lot of work for the poor. And everyone loves her.
But again, this would be my tactic. I would like want to be a people's person and like help out.
I will say this. She does this incredibly well.
Yeah. And also her hair's fantastic.
Natalie Dormer, holy shit.
Well, the wigs also are fantastic.
Oh, yeah. And right, Natalie Dormer and her clothes, the whole thing. She walks through the mud and flea bottom to go take care of like these kids.
She's like, her handmaid's like, but you're dressed. And she's like, I have others.
I have others. It's fine. Marjorie is, she's like on this, populist promotional tour. She should be.
She wants people to like her.
Right. And so, but it's working. And Joffrey's so afraid he can't even get out of the litter he's being carried in. Of course, these people are being carried in litters because that's what happens.
Well, to be fair, the last time he did, there was a mob that tried to kill everybody.
Right. But he is so afraid. And I think that the whole public knows it. So they then are invited, that being Marjorie and Laura, are invited to dinner with Joffrey and Cersei. And Cersei is actually wearing a dress that is basically like armor. And I love the way Marjorie is so great at the subtle dig. She's like, I love your dress. The silk and
the metalwork.
I've never seen anything like that. And Cersei's like,
you should get armor.
You barely got attacked. You should get some armor too. Armor's important. And Marjorie's kind of like, I know how to handle people. Unlike you, bitch. Joffrey's response to this, because it's having the intended effect. Joffrey's response is basically,
oh, my mom's over dramatic. She's old. She's so old.
She's so old. And that really gets to Cersei, who is like all about being the beautiful, sexy, whatever person. And it really gets under her skin. You can tell. They talk about how Highgarden, look, is providing basically all the food to King's Landing, and that should be helping with the masses, essentially.
Yeah.
And
that's the end of the episode.
Mm-hmm. What were your best parts?
Tormund, Podrick, Marjorie, Ser Barristan, and Rob.
Because
Rob exists. And also him, like, keeping his mother under, like, get under his control. And trying to make sure that she doesn't do another fucking stupid dumbass thing, Catelyn. Yeah. I swear to God.
Yeah. So my best part is I have more than you. This is interesting. I've got Barristan, Missandei.
Oh, I like Missandei too.
I like Missandei. I love the way she edits this slaver and his god awful shit. That's awesome. Rob, of course, because it's Richard Madden.
He's still here.
He's awesome.
He's here.
Davos. I love Tyrion.
Oh, yes. I like Davos as well.
I love Davos in this episode. He almost kills the Red One. It made me so happy. Mm. I love Tyrion in this episode. Bronn, of course, is fucking fabulous.
Oh, Bronn, yes. I love
Bronn. Marjorie's great in this episode. Jon, oh my God. Tormund, I love him. Podrick, because he's Podrick. Podrick. So what were your worst parts?
Bruce Bolton for existing.
Yeah, I don't even... this episode.
Yes,
really.
He is. He talks about their 200 northern men cut down. Mother, pay attention. Qyburn for existing. Tywin for saying all those horrible things. Roz and Shay for existing and being whores, and I don't care. Stannis, creepy warlock.
You really
girl.
Have a thing against whores. You are like the slut.
Okay, here's no. Here's the thing. I just don't need to see it. Like, I don't need to. It's not a major part of this. I think that I can look past Shay a bit. I don't like that Shay's here. Okay. But, Mom, can I finish?
Yes.
I don't like that Shay is here, but she is here. But I like her better with Sansa, like, protecting Sansa and that kind of thing. Roz has no purpose. Like, I understand she's there to represent, oh, well, I'm one of the little birds now. Now I'm looking after people because Littlefinger's an awful monster. We know that already. I don't need to see Roz doing her whore thing. Like, I don't need to see it. It's a waste of fucking time. I think in this episode, it's not as bad, but I still, on principle, I'm going to say that.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say this. I don't think Roz is even a character in the books. I don't remember her at all in the books. So
she's pointless.
To a large extent, I totally agree with you. Shay is a character in the books.
She's kind of important, so.
She is important, especially as things progress, but she is more limited in the books than she is in the show.
Okay. Anyway, Rose and Shay, Stannis, creepy warlock girl, slaver guy, and maybe Melisandre as well.
Yeah. So I've got Tywin. Tywin is a real dick in this episode. Really, I generally love him.
But here's the thing: the last time they talked, he gave him the post of Hand of the King. So he's not expecting this, like, really cold awfulness from Tywin.
Right.
It's just random.
Tywin, I think Tywin, when he is not actually in war mode, is really a pretty terrible guy.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the point. But Tywin is one of my worst parts. Joffrey, of course.
Oh, Joffrey.
Fucking Joffrey. Littlefinger, fucking terrible. Stannis, terrible. Melisandre, terrible. Kyber, and of course, we don't know all the reasons why I hate Kyber.
We'll find out later, but again, same as Roose Bolton, we'll find out.
I should have mentioned, I would mention Roose Bolton, but I don't hate him nearly as much as other people.
Oh no, I hate him.
Slaver is like, he's huge on for me in this episode. So what grade did you give this episode?
B.
I had B plus A minus question mark. There's a lot of good stuff in this episode to me.
I'll give it a B plus.
Yeah, I think a B plus. I think there is memorable stuff. There's a lot of movement to the plot, which is really important.
Mm.
And the fact that they are able to get all of these plot lines kind of going at the same time is pretty impressive. So I was very impressed with this episode structurally.
Okay.
All right. What are our sections?
So many. For episode 2, Dark Wings, Dark Words, which is a really random title for this episode.
It is. That's kind of stupid.
It's so stupid. Okay. Beyond the Wall, Northern Road, Harrenhal / River Run, Other Road, King's Landing, Moat Cailin, and Night's Watch.
Oh, yeah. It's Moat Cailin? I thought it was Dreadfort. Okay.
Is it the Dreadfort?
I think it might be Moat Cailin.
It's Moat Cailin. Because that's Dreadfort is what I'm confused. Wait, what?
So the Dreadfort is actually their seat, the seat of the Boltons. Deepwood Mott.
Deepwood Mott is what I was thinking. What Yards took. Deepwood Mott is what Yards took. Correct. That's the Glover's.
Moat Cailin, you are correct. Is another.
It is Moat Cailin.
I think it is Moat Cailin. I think you're right. So Moat Cailin, if you're thinking geographically.
It's closer to Winterfell.
It's closer to Winterfell than either Deepwood Mott or the Dreadfort. And so that's in the north.
There's so many things.
There are so many things. And I just want to make sure that we're talking about the same things. I've got North, I've got Beyond the Wall, Stark Camp, Moat Cailin, Road 1, Road 2, and King's Landing. That's what I have.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, Harrenhal / River Run is just Stark Camp, so don't worry about that. Okay. Where do you want to start, Moat Cailin?
Let's start with Moat Cailin, because fairly short, but fucking creepy.
Very creepy. So Theon's being tortured. He's on an X, like the
flayed man
thing. He's being questioned about why he took Winterfell, and his foot is being drilled into.
It's awful. So the devices of torture are clearly well developed, whatever they're using, because they've got like screws and nails and things.
Yeah, very well developed. You could just stab someone with a screw.
But the screws are like to tighten the grip on the ankles or on the foot or on the arms and stuff.
Well, the vibe I got was that they were screwing like a kind of like a twist thing that you do with wine bottles,
like a corkscrew.
Yeah, a corkscrew into your foot. That's what I assumed was going on. But also, they stab him in the hand and all that stuff.
It's bad.
It's really bad. And then someone unimportant says he was sent by Yara and will come back for Theon the next night or something. He'll come back.
We have the unimportant part in quotes.
Yes. Because he might be and important.
I'll be back when the castle sleeps. This person is actually cleaning the room where Theon's being tortured.
He's just in the back. It reminded me of the Crown episode with like the Philip backstory, where he's on the phone with his favorite sister, and there's just a kid in the background just swimming the floor. floor. Cleaning, sweeping, measuring, you know, all the things. There you go.
Anyway, where do you want to go next? There's so many options.
There are so many options. So
do you want to do Beyond the Wall?
Yeah, let's do Beyond the Wall. So Beyond the Wall, we've got John.
Yes.
John is talking to Mance. And he's asking, like, how'd you get all these people together? Well, I've unified people because all of us need to go south because of the shit that's out here. They meet a wildling who is actually, I think it's a character from an actor that we know from Pirates of the Caribbean.
The one who loses his eye all the time. I knew he looked familiar. Yes. He does weird things with his eyes in almost everything he's in.
The British version of The Office. So
yes,
he is.
He's the equivalent of Dwight.
Yes. So
yes,
yeah, he's fucking awesome. But
I need to rewatch The British Office.
Great actor, and I love him. And I love him even in this role because it's a smaller role.
He's a warg.
Skill is he is a warg. He wargs into usually flying birds.
A falcon. See, this is what fucking gin does to me. A flacken.
And you're drinking it, so there you go.
I'm trying to get it done.
But yeah, so the way they talk about it, because I love the way Igor's like, you've never seen anyone warg before? Like, it's some sort of common...
It's kind of like with the giant thing. It's just like, you never seen a giant before?
Yeah, and it's like, because this camp is so large, of course, they've got all of these diverse people and the diverse backgrounds in among the wildlings, but you don't get the sense like all wildlings know all things, but whatever. They talk about how this guy walks into flight the birds of prey particularly and scouts for them. And
he saw dead Night Watch members at the Fist of the First Men.
I didn't understand it. I was
swallowing gin that you made me drink.
So the rapist, raper, depending on whether you're in England or not, taunts Sam.
I don't think it's much of a difference, Mother.
There isn't, but you know, we generally call
it. Anyway, the rapist is taunting Sam. He's not a therapist, Mom. Anyway.
He thinks he is.
No, he doesn't.
Surviving the attack from the White Walker.
He calls him Piggy. It's Piggy. It's rude.
Slow.
I could call him Rapist. Would that be fun? No. Sam collapses, but Gren and...
Okay, so this is what the guy's trying to do. He's trying to convince Sam to drop behind and just let himself die there on the spot. And Sam starts going along with it. He drops behind, and you've got Gren and Ed are like, hey, what the fuck are you doing? And the Lord Commander comes up and is like, hey, what the fuck are you doing?
Well, first of all, Sam hates that they left him behind because whenever the White Walkers were coming, it was him, Gren, and Ed. And Gren and Ed just ran ahead of him. It's kind of like the alligator thing. It's just like, it doesn't matter, like, who.
What the fuck are you talking about? It doesn't matter
if I'm fast as long as I'm faster than you.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I was trying to go for. Yeah. I don't know where the alligators came from, but it literally, they just wanted to save their own lives and they didn't really care in that moment because they were scared and they've never seen a White Walker before, and now Sam has seen many and he's afraid and he hates that they left him behind. And Ed was just like, yeah, we wanted to live, dude. I don't know what you want us to do. We thought you were behind us. That's just it. Sorry, dude. And then Mormont forbids Sam to die, which is funny, and makes the rapist responsible for his life. Because basically, if Sam dies, then the rapist dies. So that's a good incentive.
Yeah.
All right. Where do you want to go next?
Do you want there? I also have the North, that being the Bran.
Northern Road. Yes.
Northern Road.
Bran has a three-eyed raven dream because he can walk, and the brothers are there. So basically, it's a mirror of the pilot of him like walking around in the woods and he's about to shoot something. And then I loved this because I was watching this, we started this episode and I was watching it and he gets to this part and I see young Richard Madden and young Kit Harington, yeah. And I knew immediately what they were going to say. And John is like, relax. And then I said with Richard Madden, relax your bow arm.
Well, okay, so
And Sophie looked at me like I was crazy.
Even in his dreams, Bran can't shoot for shit.
He's this fucking idiot. But also, I just love relax your bow arm. And the thing is, Sophie didn't see the pilot. She came in like late season one, so she didn't see it. And so I'm just like, the thing is, she hadn't watched like the first season, like she never watched like Ned. She never really got to know Ned.
Oh my god!
So I had to explain most of it. Fine, whatever. I'll let her know what you said. But she doesn't have HBO. This is why. I show her this stuff on our HBO account.
Maybe she needs to get caught up, and then we move on with her with season three.
The winter is coming, and I'm not going to be with Sophie all of winter. So. Anyway, the brothers are there, and then the ghost of, Sean Bean's voice comes in. Ned
is the best.
And then Ferb shows up and says he is the Raven.
Oh, it's true. Okay, so the actor that plays Jojen Reed, and that's
I forgot his name for a second. I knew it started with a J, but I was just like,
Jojen Reed. I will say this. This is actually a slightly bigger character in the books. I know that's
I like it to the size just the way it is.
No, I feel like it's fine, but there's like more background development because Jojen Reed is the son of someone who was a great knight who fought with Ned.
And saved Ned's life.
The big war thing.
So Jojen is also a warg. Jojen has similar skills
to Bran. Also sees the three-eyed raven stuff in his dreams, but mostly he sees dreams of... We'll talk about it. Yes. Anyway, Asha and Bran talk about the magic dreams. Later on, Bran wakes up and someone is coming. And then there's this moment where Asha is like going all like hunter kind of thing. And she like runs off with a spear and she like hops a little. It's so funny the way she runs away. Me and Sophie had to rewind it. It was really funny. And then the Reeds, Jojen and Meera, show up, and Summer likes Jojen, and Meera has the weapons because she's a badass. And
the way this is actually blocked is really great. So Jojen Reed shows up.
He just walks in,
and
Bran's just like, okay.
Bran's seen him in dreams before, so Bran's kind of like
one dream.
Wait,
so
I know you. And I've put a note here just because I know we're not going to talk about it, although it's important. I've got Hodor with a heart next to him because I love
Hodor. Hodor.
He is so fucking great. He is worried because, they start to notice that there's like rustling out there and they're concerned for their safety. And so Asha thinks there's like black magic involved in the dreams.
I'm sorry, really quickly. I would like to mention, I think I saw like an interview where the cast were talking about favorite lines and it gets to Hodor and he's just like, Hodor.
Yes.
I think so. Maybe I'm making that up, but that'd be really funny if that happened.
This actor makes you absolutely love this character. That's
it's amazing. It truly is.
Is amazing, the inflection, and I mean, they've taken that into the Marvel universe with I Am Groot, whatever.
Yeah,
but Hodor was it from the beginning, and there's so much to the kindness in this character and the empathy in this character that is
just love him.
You love him. Hodor is amazing. So Asha is worried about black magic. She goes into the woods. She's looking for whatever is out there.
She's hopping around in the woods.
Summer is growling. Summer at this point is a big fucking direwolf.
Let's just put it in perspective. Grey Wind and all of the direwolves who are alive at this point, which are Grey Wind, Nymeria's out there maybe. Shaggy Dog and Summer. Oh wow, we have five. That's amazing. We don't end with five, but that's another thing. I'm just saying. I know. Anyway, so basically what happens is that Summer's growling and then Jojen just walks up and then Asha comes.
You must be Summer.
Well, before that, Asha comes up and has like a spear to his like neck or something.
Yes.
And then Meera comes up behind Asha with a knife to her neck. Right. And is just like, I have the weapon.
Right. But Asha's kind of like, oh, it's stupid to come upon people in the woods without a weapon. He's like,
my sister carries the weapons, and Mira's like got a knife.
I love the reeds.
They are actually sweet. And Mira's amazing.
Mira's awesome.
Oh my god, yeah. But I like Jojen and the actor. If you have seen Nanny McPhee,
I literally was trying to describe to
if
Sophie.
If you have seen Love Actually,
he's the baby boy.
He is the sweetest thing. This actor
is so good.
The chess thing. Oh my god.
Oh, and that's Queen's Gambit. That's where Sophie knew him from.
He's amazing. I love
him. But also, he's the voice of Ferb in Phineas and Ferb, and that's why I said Ferb.
He is.
I honestly, for whatever reason, blocked out a lot of this. I blocked out a lot of this storyline, and so it was kind of a shock that he was here this early. But I have to get a move on. But then I was like, oh my god, Jojen, yes, I forgot about you.
Right. No, I love the
not
actor.
That he isn't important, not that he isn't a big part of the show. I try to block out as much of Bran's storyline as possible.
Bran's storyline is not amazing, but you do see some real character
it's
development
long.
These other people. And I
the
really,
people along the way are great.
Well, and I think that's part of the greatness of the show. Again, we've talked about the
you cannot like one of the main characters, but you can like the people around them. Like,
and I don't dislike
Bran,
but he's not
like
Daenerys.
Cool. Like Daenerys, with I love Jorah, I love Barristan Selmy, I like Missandei, I like a lot of people around her,
right?
And I like a lot of people around Bran. Like Osh is awesome, Mira Reed's awesome, Jojen's awesome. I like Rickon, even though he gets nothing. Summer's awesome, and Hodor is such a sweetheart, and I love him.
Right.
I mean, you can like a lot of people around
and
them.
It's kind of like Harry Potter in a way. Like,
yes,
like the actual character of Harry, and I love the character of
He's
Harry.
A chameleon. He just kind of blends in.
But he's got so many great qualities, but he doesn't, he's not, well, he's synergy.
He has to work in the team.
Yeah, he is only as good as the people he is around. And I think that's true of everyone in real life. And I think that is a great thing to learn from these shows, if that's something you learn from these shows, is like, we're only as good as the people that surround us.
Oh, so true.
And
even though Bran's storyline sucks, I like the people around him.
Well, and his storyline sucks, but it doesn't suck. And we're going to get...
It depends.
All
it
of
depends.
That. All of that.
Anyway, so yeah. I had a lot of flash, like, PTSD from, like, when I saw Jojen. I was like, Jojen! And then I was just
Jojen.
Like... And then I got a lot of PTSD from the storyline.
Yeah.
And I was just like,
Mira,
oh, God!
I'll tell you again, Mira is fucking Mira's awesome.
Such a... So awesome. I love Mira's probably
gotta
one of,
give her flowers up front.
Oh, for sure. I think that in general, there are a lot of little characters that I just really love, like Podrick, Mira, people who don't upset me. The people who I just love.
They don't upset you, that
unconditionally.
They are like the rest of us. Like many of us are never gonna be these elevated, amazing people.
But see,
like,
this is
your
again,
Jon Snows or your Daenerys.
And not
many of us are just
the mirrors.
The people
protecting their brother.
The people
trying
get it
to get
done.
Them.
The people fucking get it done.
I think I'm mostly a Podrick.
I don't know. I have to think about that.
I think I'm a Podrick.
I don't know where I fit in the universe, but I will tell you, I might be an Arya because I fucking love Arya.
I don't think I'd make the same decisions she does, but
I might. At the same time,
we'll talk about this. We'll talk about this at the end of this episode. We'll talk about who we think we are.
Anyway.
Well, and who we think the other is. Anyway, that'll be fun. Anyway, looking forward to that. Mm. Okay, Northern Road. Summer likes Jojen. Later on, Jojen talks to Bran about being a warg and seeing the three-eyed raven and having the sight to see the past and present. And he's been a lot of different places in his mind, and it's really cool. And it's very interesting to Bran because he didn't know anybody else was like him, and he thought he was going crazy because nobody really reinforced his ideas of like what this is until Jojen, who has the same experiences and a little bit more experience. And so he can talk. And basically he tells Bran that he's extremely important. He's had a lot of visions of Bran, and he's like probably the most important person. And we'll find out like why later. And he's like a chosen one narrative kind of thing where it's just like, we need to protect Bran at all costs.
There are a lot of chosen one narratives in this.
Oh, so sure. So many.
I want to point out that some of these weird little subplots, they send out Summer to help protect Rickon. The wolves kind of go out and just go out and, hey, you need to go look for Rickon.
Yeah, Rickon kind of runs off in a field, and then Bran's just like, hey, Summer, Shaggy Dog, you go look after them. The wolves will protect him. I love that so much. I love it a lot. Anyway, Asha's talking to Mira, and Asha's like, aren't you embarrassed that you have to protect your brother? And then Mira's like, no, I find it's an honor to protect my brother. I love my brother and I want him to stay safe. So if I'm the one who has to carry the weapons and be a badass, I'll do it. And I love that about Mira. I really do. She's one of my favorite characters. I think she's just like so great.
I love Mira. I can't say it enough. So I'm jumping in here to say that. If there is ambient noise, I apologize because I'm going in and out and doing a bunch of other things.
What section do you want to do next? We have a lot of roads. We have Stark Camp. We have King's Landing. We have two roads.
We got Stark Camp and Road 2. King's Landing. I feel like King's Landing. Hang on. Yeah, I want to end on King's Landing. The actual episode, I think, ends on King's Landing. So let's do... Pick a road. Road one or road two?
I'll just do Jaime and Breeze.
Okay, that is road one for me. Brienne and Jaime.
Yeah, I don't know why I don't have... Oh, wait, road, other road. Yeah, I don't know why I didn't separate the two. All right, we're on... You said it's road one for you?
Yes.
Cool. All right, so road one, Jaime and Brienne are walking to King's Landing. Jaime figures out that she served Renly and liked him. Well, he assumes that she liked him because she seems to be very passionate about him. And he's just like, he wasn't your type. You weren't his type. Let's be clear. And they run into a farmer going to River Run. Jaime thinks that the farmer recognizes him and that he'll give them away. And Bran's he basically wants her to kill him. And Bran's like, no, I'm not going to kill this innocent farmer. Like, that's so fucking vile. Like, why would I do that? No, I'm not going to kill this innocent farmer, even though it could give us away to enemies. Bran and Jaime cross a bridge, and he gets out of his restraints and fights Brienne. She basically beats him, like, which is really fun to see, even though to be fair, he's in manacles, so he doesn't have full, like, ability, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so
I will say, I love this dynamic between them. She is, they really kind of play up the fact that she is not his type, right? And so he wants to go over the bridge. They're fighting.
They literally sword fight.
Right. He sits down, he grabs her sword, he cuts the rope, and then Brienne has a backup sword. I love these lines. Like, Jaime is he is the guy who taunts you in a sword fight, right?
It's his biggest tactic.
Right. This is part of the reason, like, no one wants to actually have a sword fight with him is, like,
he doesn't fucking shut up.
He doesn't shut up. But second, obviously, he's a great swordsman, right? But I think that part of it is that he gets under your skin emotionally.
It's what he's been trying to do with Brienne since the start.
Right. Like, oh, you want to fight me? Like, yeah, come on and fight me. And so he's like, I never understood why people carry two swords, blah, blah, blah. They but now have I get this it. Fight. And she is definitely at his level, which I think is a surprise to him. They get surprised by other people.
Yeah, the Bolton men come across them, and the farmer recognized them, and they take them. Mm-hmm. They're now their prisoners, and a lot of shit's going to go down. So
and that actor who is the lead Bolton man, you will see again.
Yeah.
Lots of good times.
In the show, yeah.
Yes.
He's a character, Mom. I don't know what his name is.
Let's be clear to the audience, that is not the bastard's son.
of Roose Bolton. I wanted to tell Sophie so badly that that's Roose Bolton's bastard, but I didn't want to gaslight her that much.
Yeah, you can't.
Because I wanted her to be confused and not know
who he is. Right?
Because the thing is, Sophie was talking to me and I was just like, oh, you're like, I saw Theon and I was like, oh, you're going to meet a character. You're going to meet his bastard son or something. I think I said, you're going to meet a character. And she's like, oh, do we like them? And I was just like, you can make your own decisions. Yeah. And she was just like, oh, so, okay, I guess I'll figure it out as we go. I think we're going to like him. And I'm just like, sure. Yeah, no, we'll see how you feel. And I didn't want to gaslight her that much. I really didn't. But, like, I wanted to see how she would react. But she'll find out once we get later on. If we get to that episode, I don't know. We'll see. All right, do you want to go to the other road?
Other road. On the other road, we have Gendry, Arya, and Gendry Hawkeye.
Basically talks about how stupid her choices and kills were, which honestly is so true. He was like, you could have chosen any name. You could have chosen King Joffrey. You could have chosen Cersei Lannister or Tywin. But you chose the other people.
And like, she, Arya's kind of like, look.
We got out.
We got number one, we got out the most important part, but she also is like, it could have taken a long time. We need to get this shit done.
Well, here's the problem. I totally see where she's coming from because I think that it's interesting because I couldn't read that, Mom.
Never mind. It's okay.
Okay. So basically, I think that it's interesting because even if she chose to like name Joffrey, or the queen, or whatever, what would that do? Like, that wouldn't help you. Like, personally, right, that would not help you.
Right.
That would
she chose in the short term versus the long term.
I agree with her.
And
they'll die eventually in the long term.
It's kind of like Yoren thing. Is like, look, this is a long term goal to kill the guy who, in Yoren's case, killed his brother.
Plus, she kind of wants to work through her own list.
Right. So she wants a couple of these people for herself. But she's also kind of like, okay, look, we need to get out of there. They start hearing some guys coming down the road and they're singing a song. And it is, yes, indeed, the fucking Reigns of Castamere.
Here's the problem. I'm trying to instill this in Sophie that this is a song to be feared.
Yes.
And she's just like, well, I'm not going to be traumatized by it when we get there. And I'm just like,
yeah,
you might not be, but I am. I will cry like a little bitch.
I know. But, God, yes.
I know.
Absolutely.
I hope
that I already have ingredients for the drink for that episode.
Is it going to be blood? I mean,
blood orange juice.
Yep, I figured.
Yep.
The thing is, I do want to watch that. I want to finish this, at least this season with Sophie. So we're just going to try to pump these things out and like get a move on. But like still, I think that just in general, she does not understand how traumatized I am by that song.
So in any case, they are hiding behind like the ruin of a wall and an arrow comes like through the hole. It's like, fuck. And so there's a drunk guy who
named Thoros of Myr.
Thoros of Myr, who we heard mentioned. So actually Jamie had mentioned Thoros of Myr in a previous episode where he talked about Thoros with his flaming sword was taking the castle at Pike. So
Thoros is a cool character.
He's actually a bit cooler in the books, but whatever. He is cool. He's got a flaming sword. When he has a sword, we don't see that yet. But he shows up, he's drunk and he's kind of like, hey, who are you? Why are you here? You know, what the hell? You know, you're a girl and some guys, and where are your people?
A very dangerous girl.
Right, and he recognizes immediately that she's dangerous. He also...
Well, she has a sword, and she's trying to protect her friends.
Right, but he notices that he's got a guy with him who is an amazing archer. He's just fucking incredible.
Yeah, he even like shoots up into the air and is talking to Hawkeye and is just like, if you don't move out of the way now, that arrow is going to come down on your head.
Right. That guy does exist in the books and is a very cool character.
I don't know what his name is. Let's call him Dave.
Dave. Well, no, he's going to be cooler than they. How about Steve?
David.
Steve, David, whatever.
No, I like Dave. Dave is the character name we're doing. Everybody.
They mentioned that they are part of the Brotherhood Without Banners,
which was what was so concerning about the people at Harrenhal. They were asked about the Brotherhood, And the mountain, or after the Brotherhood. Right. The mountain is after
the Brotherhood. So they're trying to save the countryside. They have this great archer. They are at, they are kind of like,
they want to know about their escape from Harrenhal, essentially.
Right. And they discuss, you know, the armory and all that stuff.
They're at the road, the other road's pub. They're at a pub. Right. They talk about how they escaped. Basically, they say they fought, well, Arya says they fought their way out. And Arya wants to prove she can fight and tries, but Thoros is better.
She draws on him. Thoros disarms her like almost immediately. Because he's fucking amazing swordsman.
But also Arya, they're about to leave. They're like free to go.
Yeah.
But then some men show up with the Hound as a prisoner. And he recognizes Arya and is just like announces to everyone, like, hey, what are you guys doing with the Stark bitch?
And she's like,
fuck me, why did this have to happen now? I thought he didn't pay attention to what I looked like. Littlefinger, I kind of wish he just didn't recognize me.
Because, you know, Littlefinger only has eyes for Sansa.
Ew. But I also think that... this is going to turn into a very interesting combination of people.
It is.
I really love Arya's early stuff.
I love Arya, period.
I love Arya, period, but I love her early stuff in particular. I hate
the very last episode. Other than that, Arya is all the shit to me.
I love Arya, but I think that her early stuff is probably some of her best.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's go to King's Landing.
So we've got Joffrey, oh my god, getting fitted for clothes for his wedding.
He's like, no flowers.
No flowers.
No flowers.
He's a whiny, ugly, nasty bitch. And Cersei is talking to him about, hey, what do you think of Marjorie? Hey, and he picks up very quickly. He's like, I'm sick of your jealousy, Mom. You're jealous of my wife-to-be. Just stop it. And he's like, an intelligent woman does what she is told, which again shows his value of women generally. We switch then to Sansa. Who is being
Shay.
And Shay's like, Littlefinger
can't be trusted.
He can't be trusted. He can't be trusted. And that's absolutely true.
Shay says that if he tries anything to tell her, and that she will make him stop if he's doing anything.
If he touches her.
Sansa, because Sansa is so naive and been like, oh, God, a man wouldn't want anything from me at all.
You're so stupid.
She's also 13, 14 now. So, I mean, you can be naive a bit, but you need to wise up, girl.
But Laura, she's so stupid that Laura's comes to visit. And she's kind of like, yay, Laura!
Well, she doesn't know he's gay, Mom. She's an idiot. She doesn't have any gaydar because gaydar wasn't a thing back then.
You can still, know someone's interested.
Well, gaydar was a thing back then, but still. She didn't have any, that's for sure.
Right, but I mean, you can know someone's interested in general.
Anyway. Loras takes Sansa to go talk to Olenna Tyrell, which is grandmother.
Lady Olenna Tyrell. She is very important.
Diana Rigg.
Lady Diana Rigg. I'm sorry. Diana Rigg. She is, okay.
I don't know if she's a dame.
She is a dame. She recently died. And she is an amazing actress. She was in the Avengers in the 60s. This woman,
kicked
ass and took names even
she was in Last Night in Soho. That was her last thing that and she was in. She's fantastic.
She's fantastic in this show. Do not be mistaken. There is more to come with Lady Olenna. It's part of the reason we're having a Highgarden mimosa because this woman fucking rocks.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, she's talking to Olenna and Marjorie. Olenna didn't like Renly. Olenna asks about Joffrey since Marjorie is marrying him and basically bribing Sansa with lemon cakes, which are her favorite, which will come back in season 4.
It does come back. So they want to find out more about Joffrey.
Because they only know surface level stuff. They're just like rumors. Afraid
to talk about it. And yet they can tell that she's terrified. They actually say to each other, like, hey, you know, be kind to her. She's clearly terrified. And that makes Sansa feel comfortable enough to say what she wants to say. And so she's like, and they're like, just be honest. She's like, he's a monster.
She basically tells them, my father was decapitated because of like him. And he made me go out and look at his decapitated head. It was very traumatic, and I hated that. And he's a monster, and I hate him. Right. And so later on...
Right, so, and it's interesting how Marjorie incorporates that information.
And she's like, okay, processing that.
Yeah, but anyway, so they've got Shay talking to Tyrion.
About Littlefinger, and then she judges him for screwing Roz for some reason.
One of the things she says about Littlefinger is like, I am worried about Sansa, which again, it shows some humanization. I know you hate Shay. I know you hate.
I don't mind Shay as much right this second, but at the beginning, she was so annoying and just kind of pointless.
There's in the book, there's still a lot of pointless, but still. So they do humanize her. She's worried about Sansa. She's like, she tells Tyrion, you've got to protect Sansa. Joffrey then brings Marjorie to his room to show her his crossbow. What the fuck? Like, are we measuring here?
He talks about how she failed to be a wife to Renly, but she says he was gay. And also, there was one night where he kind of forced her into it, and it was just unnatural and it was bad. Well,
but they never actually had sex. So this is part of it, though. Joffrey confronts her and tells Marjorie, look, I should kill you as a traitor. Right off for having supported Renly to begin with. And so she plays victim and she asks to learn about, hey, show me the crossbow.
And she's like, oh,
do this.
It would be so interesting to see something alive over there. And then in a second, it's dead. Do you think, I don't know, Your Grace, do you think I could kill? And then he's just like, yes, I think you could. That really turns me on. My crossbow is loaded now.
I really want to see you kill something.
My crossbow is loaded. Why did I say that?
Because that's the way he is.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, yeah, she plays into his sick ways.
But again, it shows how Marjorie is willing and able to play the game in a way that Sansa clearly is not.
Yeah.
So what that's saying the episode, isn't it?
Yep.
What were your best points?
Rob, Olenna. Oh shit, we didn't do Harrenhal.
Shit, we didn't do
Harrenhal. Fuck me, Stark Camp. We didn't. Talisa and Rob talk. Yeah. And again, Sophie reiterated, she could die in 2 minutes and I wouldn't care. Bruce brings news from what?
But you will.
I will. Bruce brings news from Winterfell and River Run. Fine. I'll take the lead then.
So they are going to
Bruce brings news from Winterfell and River Run, and they're just like, oh, well, I don't know which one's better news. And then he's just like, neither of them. Then Catelyn finds out that her father is dead, and so they're going to march down and like visit River Run for the funeral. But also, Winterfell is burned to the ground. Basically, when the bastard got there.
I will say this is how fucking great this show is. In the credits, Winterfell burns.
Yes. And so basically what happens is Catelyn finds out about her father being dead, and also news from Winterfell, it's been burned down by the time the bastard got there. All the Stark men, all of the Theon's men were gone, and which is not true, but okay. And Winterfell has been burned to the ground, and Bran and Rickon are missing. Right. Later
they
on,
they march to Riverrun.
Robb and the men are going to Riverrun, and Lord Karstark says he basically lost the war when he married Talisa.
Yep.
And this diversion to Riverrun is a bad idea.
Right, because it's not going to engage the Lannisters. This is just like indulging your mother, who is a traitor, so what the fuck?
But to be fair, the Lannisters are down in King's Landing. Like, most of that army is down in King's Landing, so they're kind of taking a pause from the war anyway. Catelyn is making a talisman thing for her children, and she has made them twice before. She made one for Bran when he fell out the window, was pushed. wasn't that stupid. And she made one for Jon when he had the pox, and she felt guilty for asking the dark gods to let him die. Basically, when Ned came home with Jon, she basically prayed to the gods to let the child die, and the and John came down with the chicken pox.
The pox. She called it pox. It could be smallpox.
It could be smallpox. He came down with the pox, and if it was going to be a long night, and if he lived through it, he would live. But if not, he would die. And so she stayed up all night with him, praying to the gods to let him live because she felt so guilty for being an awful person. And then she basically said, if she prayed to the gods, it was just like, please let him live and I will be a better mother. I will give him the name Stark. I will do whatever it takes. And then she never did. So it's just like,
she admits it. And she's, you can see her struggling with the guilt that goes.
All because I couldn't love a motherless child.
Yeah, bitch. And that is the world's biggest weakness for Catelyn to me, is like her inability to open her heart a little bit. It's just terrible.
Yeah. So, all right. That's the end of the episode.
Right. So what were your best parts?
Rob, Elena, the ghost of Sean Bean, Gendry, and Marjorie. And Arya.
I didn't include the ghost of Sean Bean. And Arya. I love Ned so much. But I have Lady Elena, who I love. Yeah. Marjorie, I think, is great. Sansa is really good in this episode. Gendry, of course. Arya, Rob, Mira, I love. John, I love. Ed, I love. The Lord Commander actually, I think, makes good decisions about like how to manage rapists.
I'll also add the Reeds.
Yeah, I include Asha in this. I think she's doing.
I think Asha's good. Great too.
Yeah,
I do. I'll add Asha.
What are your worst parts?
Oh crap.
I
got worst parts
too. Yeah, go ahead. All right. So my worst part, of course, is Joffrey. Oh my god, what is wrong with him? Cersei, I don't like Cersei generally, and her weakness, her vanity, I don't appreciate. Jaime, for being a dickhead and goading Brienne. The character who's pushing the broom because I know who he is. to Lisa, because oh my god, she's such a fucking whiner, and from here forward she's probably gonna be worse because she's a fucking whiner, other than she has motivation for seeing Richard Madden naked, so okay,
that's the only thing I'll excuse. We'll see some ass later.
Yep. Catelyn, I hate in this episode, and the rapist.
Okay, yeah, I also need to add the rapist. Therapist. So the three-eyed raven BS. These are my worst parts. Three-eyed raven bullshit. Ruth, unimportant character pushing a broom. Talisa not being more interesting. I've kind of moved on from Warrior Princess. I just want her to be more interesting.
That'd be nice.
Joffrey, Catelyn not being nice to John. Shay. I'll take Shay out. I think Shay's fine in this episode.
Yeah, she's
fine. Jamie and therapist, the rapist.
Therapist. For those who don't know, if you've never seen, there's an SNL Saturday Night Live sketch where when they have Sean Connery or the faux Sean Connery on, the category is therapist.
He says the rapist for 200, Alex.
That's therapist. I'm just never getting over that.
Jeopardy is a great thing.
We are 100% going to keep saying that. So if it bothers you, sorry. What was your grade for this episode?
B. Maybe B plus.
I think this is a B plus episode.
I think it's a B plus.
I did not give it a grade, but I think this is a B plus.
I think it's a B plus.
Yeah, and again, I'm kind of surprised because there's a lot of season three that I've like in my brain just. Like melded into
to season
other
four
things.
And season five.
Yeah, like there are those middle seasons, and this is a middle season, but there's a lot of good stuff in this season. So yeah. I that's why you watch the show, people. So please, we want
wait,
you
wait.
To watch the show.
What about characters we think we're most like?
Oh boy.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm supposed to talk about you.
Well, we can do it that way, or we can talk about ourselves, and then we can talk about the other.
How do you want to start?
Okay.
Okay. I want to talk about you because
lovely. I see a bit of Marjorie in me.
I see some Marjorie. I see some Sansa in you. Honestly.
Yeah, I can see that too. I hope I'm less whiny and more on the Marjorie side.
But you know, again, I've been there through the whole journey, so you know.
Yeah, that's true.
So the journey is the journey.
The right? Sansa slash Marjorie.
Right. So like, I could see both of them for you. There's mm-hmm. a little bit of the humor of a Podrick. There's a
yes.
There is the entertainment value, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I can see all of them.
Yeah. I see some Mira for you. I see some Arya for you. I think I have a bit of Cersei in you. Cersei because of the motherly thing. Mm. Like, you'll do anything for me and my brother.
That's true.
Like, you will kill.
I find it interesting you're seeing Cersei and not...
Like, not... Okay, not that she's killed anybody. But, like, you yes. will do anything yes. to protect us. And I think the motherly gene is most prominent in Cersei.
Mm.
Catelyn's just an idiot, so I wouldn't compare you to Catelyn.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I think Dad's a lot like Ned. He would be smarter, though.
Yeah, there's a nobility there. I would be more like Ned and be stupid in the moment because I don't always see all the
angles. Everybody makes the right decision.
Well, no, what is right? I mean, I have that nobility thing that you know, I can see would get me.
You have a bit of John in you.
I got yeah. Oh God, yeah. And I think we all, I hope, have a little bit of John in us.
I think I have a bit of Mira in me.
There's probably some.
I think the just like over it shit kind of thing with Mira is just me.
But at the same time, there is a willingness to serve that I hope is true for you and your brother. And
well, I would totally, if my brother decided to just go north or something, I would be like, have the sense about me to be like, I'll protect you, even though he can protect himself pretty well.
Well, right. It would be also vice versa. I think yeah. I think that
for protection sure.
of each other, I think, would be there.
Yeah, I think that's why I said a little bit mirror, just because it's like, I think me and my brother have that kind of thing where it's like, we will do whatever yeah, for each other.
Yeah, I think that there is, there's some really beautiful relationships in this show, and there are a lot of lesser characters and lesser people. I don't think any of us is Theon.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think any of us
is an unimportant character.
Well, but I mean, yeah, that Podrick, you might call it an important, but
oh, no, not. No. I'm talking about the unimportant character. We were talking about Sweepy.
Yes, that no. But I do think...
I don't think we're Daenerys either.
No.
And the only reason I say Cersei is that you can be fierce enough to like just yeah, not take shit from anybody. The problem I
have with Cersei is that her ego is far too
much. I agree. But you're kind of a mix of a lot of characters. So.
Well, I think we all are. And I think we can, all can identify on different levels with different characters. I think that for the most part, we are Stark people.
Mm-hmm.
And so that...
Oh yeah, if we were choosing Stark that we are, I'd definitely Sansa.
Yeah. I mean, if we're talking straight Starks, I'm Arya. I'm totally fine with not being the most prominent or the most whatever, but I'm going to kill your ass.
Yeah, and Sansa kind of has to work up to, like, it would take me a while to get used to the capital, but I think I would be able to, like, adjust my brain enough and work my brain enough to be able to handle those politics.
Yeah.
And just be able to like sweet talk people into believing me. That's where I think most of the Marjorie stuff comes in, where I'm like, I would be a more advanced Sansa, which is Marjorie.
Well, and I respect that. So the complexity of that situation, navigating that complexity, is a real skill that I don't, there's a diplomacy involved that I don't really have.
Mm.
I think that I have much more of the straightforward, I'm going to kill your ass, Arya shit. Yeah. Going on.
You have a northern part of you though. It's just whereas I can be a little bit more of a chameleon in the south. I want to be as beautiful as Natalie Dormer, my Natalie named twin. I want to be as beautiful in those dresses. I want those dresses.
Yeah.
I want that hair. I want that beautiful, beautiful hair. I want everything like that. But I think that in general, if I was going to have a tactic in Game of Thrones, it would be the Marjorie Sansa side.
Yeah, I think from a tactic
more standpoint, covert,
right? From a tactic side, I'd be much more Arya. I'm gonna fly under the radar, but I will kill your ass if I get the opportunity.
Like at this point,
I have a list
iteration.
I have a fucking list, people. I still do.
You're
warned.
Okay. But I, in general, I think that I would mostly go the Marjorie route of like, Well, he wants me to be perverted. Fine. Fine. I'll do that so I live.
Right. There's a willingness to compromise mm-hmm. that I think is in those circumstances something I can respect. I don't think that that's true in every circumstance, no. but I think that that is a skill that I don't have. And so that's cool. Anyway, I feel like that was a fun conversation, and we'll see how we feel when we get to the end of all. Wait,
who do we think Nick is? Bron.
Yeah.
I think he'd be a sellsword.
I can see
he Bron. Also has a bit of Gendry in him.
He's got a little Jamie Lannister.
Jamie, Bron, and Gendry. A little Gendry just to keep him grounded.
Yeah.
Well,
and the girls like him. Yeah. So a little Podrick.
No, he's not a full Podrick. I have a little bit of Podrick in me too. That must be the dad angle. I think dad's a Podrick, a little bit of Podrick in him too.
That's a good question.
I think he's a bit of Ned, he's a bit of Podrick. Tyrion a little bit. I think he'd be, yeah he is a bit of Tyrion.
He's a smart ass for sure. Your daddy is all about being a smart ass for sure. the quickness with lines.
He's one smart cookie.
That is certainly not.
We love you, dad. And we love you, Ned.
Absolutely, yes. I think there's a tiny Jon Snow there. I think I'm probably a little more Jon Snow than he is. Because I have that also visceral stupidity that sometimes John has. I mean, it's true.
The lack of foresight.
It's like, fuck it, we're going. And that will come up later. But I feel like we are all pretty much.
He has a bit of Jorah in him.
Yes.
He has a lot of loyalty.
It's not just loyalty, it is wisdom, the ability to give good advice.
Barristan. He has some Barristan in him.
Yeah. More Jorah, I think.
More Jorah, but I think there's a little bit of Barristan in there.
I think that there.
We're talking about wisdom.
Yeah. I don't think, and because.
None of us are Littlefinger.
So because those voice of reason people, I mean, you can say there's Davos in there. Davos is not somebody that I generally identify any of us with, although I appreciate Davos on some level. Yeah.
I think we all have a little bit. Oh, well, I can't talk about this character. It's not been introduced.
So, yeah, I think we're going to get there. I don't think I'm a Melisandre.
Well, I was thinking of a different Baratheon that we all have a little bit of, but I don't think, and not too much though, unfortunately, but.
So be it. Anyway, we are really looking forward to sharing the series as it goes on. Clearly we love it. I mean, I hope that you all are loving the conversation about this. I hope that y'all are enjoying the show. Because watch the show. The show's amazing. And again, because it has this breadth of characters. And while that can be complex, it is also the complexity of the world that we live in.
Yeah.
And so I think it is a great place to see potential life lessons.
Yeah, I sometimes forget what's in season 3, except for a big thing that I know is in season 3.
Mm-hmm.
I think... I remember some of the stuff. I know some weddings happen. I know some torture happens. A lot of torture happens. And a lot of slaughter, which is not unusual, but a lot of different pairings emerge, which is fun. This is always fun for me.
Right.
It's kind of like the pairings with like Bronn and Tyrion, where it's just, it just works.
I mentioned that earlier. I love so much the buddy element of this show. And I feel like, when they're trying to regenerate or say, this is the next, whatever, like next Game of Thrones or whatever, like House of the Dragon, we haven't talked about that much, but I think that there's a lack of buddy element.
There's
there.
A lack of who's who. Who the fuck are you? I don't.
They're
fucking
all fucking
care.
Targaryens, and they have similarities. Whatever. Other than Matt Smith, who I adore, that show is not necessarily like something that I would be.
Whenever Matt Smith's not in it, though, I'm so bored.
Me too. But like Rings of Power, I think has a buddy element
adventure.
To it, adventure element to it that I think is important because. How we interact with others as human beings and how we learn from that and go forward is basically a life lesson. And that's something that TV, when it's done well, does amazingly well. And that this show does that. And it's so well worth watching.
And it's such an interesting pairings. We'll have we'll talk about them later.
Absolutely.
Because they come up mostly in this season.
Yeah.
And they continue on for a while.
Yep. All that. Yeah, so we are hoping that you continue to join us. Mix up some of these drinks. I am telling you right now, we're going to be going full Lannister at some point, because there are a bunch of Lannister cocktails in this book. They look amazing. I'm excited. I got some ingredients. We are going to be sharing it.
I'm not looking forward to the blood orange.
Oh, you're going to love the blood orange. You're going to love the allspice dram. That is amazing. You're going to love it. So we are.
I will be home for a lot of this. Not all of it, but some of it.
Some of it. So, yeah, and there's going to be some more mulled wine because we love mulled wine. So that's a thing.
Mulled apple cider would be fun.
We could do that too. We are hoping that you join us. And
cheers.